The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 494. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this installment of the PVD Cast. Well, this episode, much like the one that aired last week, is all about the C3 organization that's here in Columbus, Ohio, and it stands for the Columbus Cartoon Coalition. And they are doing something very special. They are releasing a new anthology. And that anthology has a theme of learning something new. And so there's been a ton of new, wonderful tales being crafted and being put into this anthology from some of the very talented folks in the Central Ohio indie comic book scene. And I am pleased to say that I am going to be talking to Leif Bennett and Brandon Mullins about their entries into the Hidden Histories anthology from the C3 organization. Leif has an interesting entry called Get Strong Hands. Basically, he's talking about RSI, which is repetitive strain injury, you know, and a version of that is carpal tunnel syndrome. And so, you know, he's got some tricks, some tips, some information about that in his entry. Well, Brandon Mullins has a very interesting tale that he's going to tell in his entry. It's called The River Burns. And of course, you know, here in Ohio, we have a giant lake that caught on fire oh so many decades ago. And so he basically just kind of looks at why this phenomenon might happen, or why it did happen, I should say. So Brandon and Leif are both very awesome individuals to talk to, and I think you're going to enjoy the episode. So, but before we get into it, I got to thank some sponsors. I'm going to start off with the newest sponsor, which is Courtney 614 Online Sales. If you need great deals on women's fashion and health and beauty, then look no further than Courtney 614. You can find her at all those major reselling sites like Whatnot, eBay, Poshmark, etc. Simply look for Courtney 614, that's C-O-R-T-N-E-Y, or Courtney underscore 614, spelled the exact same way, for fabulous deals. And by the way, if you do find something through one of her shops, let her know that you heard about the shop through the PVD Cast. And now to the OG sponsor. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. World's Greatest Comics has everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, toys, collectibles. You name it, they got it. And if they don't got it, they'll try to go get it for you. So it, as you can see, it's your complete one-stop shop for everything comic book related. So if you're in the area, you owe it to yourself to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can also check them out online. WGComics.com is a web address. And they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WGComics. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversations with Leif Bennett and Brandon Mullins. Well, ladies and gentlemen, joining me this afternoon is Leif Bennett, the creator of House of Leif and also another outstanding artist in the Hidden Histories, which of course is the brand new anthology for C3. Leif, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing good, John.
So your topic for anthology is about repetitive strain injuries. Could you describe what that is for the listeners at home?
Sure. So a repetitive strain injury is a type of injury you can get in your muscles or tendons from doing the same type of action over and over again. Like, for example, drawing comics or typing a lot if you work in an office and that sort of thing. My comic is specifically about exercises to build strength and mobility to prevent repetitive strain injuries in your hands and your arms, and not focusing too much on it, other kinds of repetitive strain injuries.
Now, if I remember correctly from doing a little research, like carpal tunnel syndrome is kind of a version of a repetitive strain?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, and there's many others as well. So
there's a lot of different things you can go wrong with your body. So,
so why did you select this topic?
Well, you know, I'm a cartoonist. I spend a lot of time sitting at a desk drawing. At my regular job, I spend a lot of time sitting at my desk typing. And I've had to deal with repetitive strain injuries in the past. I've been in physical therapy a couple of times for that. And I know a lot of my friends who are also cartoonists or also office workers deal with the same sort of injuries, the same sort of stresses on their bodies. And I thought it might be helpful, you know, for people like me to put together this sort of guide for just some basic stretches and exercises you can do to build strength in that part of in your hands and arms and those parts of your body. To kind of prevent those repetitive strain injuries and keep your hands and arms healthy so you can keep doing what you love.
Do you recall what some of the symptoms might be for those folks listening at home in case they might be going, hey, wait a minute, maybe I have those, maybe I have this?
Sure. If you find yourself experiencing like aches and pains when you're typing, when you're drawing, or a symptom of carpal tunnel syndrome and cubital tunnel syndrome is tingling or numbness in your fingers. And both of those are caused by swelling from that repetitive strain interfering with your nerves. So that causes that tingling and numbness sensation.
Okay, so look out, folks, if you're feeling that tingling sensation, that numbness, all joking aside, definitely to get it checked out. Because if I remember, too, doing my research, it can lead to serious other health issues, but for the most part, it's kind of, you know, just it can get better. There's no radical surgery or anything that you have to have, or am I incorrect on that?
So it definitely depends. Carpal tunnel and cubital tunnel syndrome, especially, both of those can require surgery. So the first step in treatment is going to be doing basically what I've described in my comic, which is stretches and exercises to relieve some of that swelling and improve the strength in your arms so that you can continue doing those repetitive exercises without causing additional injury. But sometimes it's not just repetitive strain, like you've got a genetic predisposition to those, or you know, the injury has gone on so long that surgery does become required. And the surgery is basically just releasing some of the tension in the tendons and the muscles in your arms surgically. So, and then your body heals and fills in, you know, anything that was cut. But it's a surgical process. It's a painful recovery. You know, it's much, much better to, before you get to that point, make sure you're taking care of your body, make sure you're regularly stretching, regularly exercising to prevent those sorts of injuries.
And I'm going to be honest, I never knew that it could be hereditary, one of these types of
specifically with cubital tunnel syndrome. I'm going to do a bad job of explaining it, but I'm sorry. I'm not a physical therapist. I'm just a guy who gets injured a lot. But what can happen is based on like the placement of your bones, you can have like you can have your nerves riding in like the space between your bones where they're getting irritated a lot. And so that can cause that swelling and that injury, the cubital tunnel syndrome.
The main point, folks.
Yeah,
let's stretch. Make sure you're following the things. So that you don't end up having all these issues. So, well, let's shift gears here, Leaf. Let's talk a little bit about your, I guess you could say it's a project, or is it more, do you define it more as like a website, a place for source material? Like, what is House of Leaf?
It's a project. Yeah. House of Leaf is a project. It's, kind of like the pen name, I guess, that I, do a lot of my art under. You know, it's important to me to have my art and my writing, because I do creative writing as well, separately from comics. That's also on that website. To have those things housed on a website that's not social media, it gives me more flexibility to move between social media platforms, because I know that I have my archives in a central location that people can always access.
Smart move.
Yep.
Absolutely smart move. I mean, coming from a guy that's got quite a few episodes in the archives, but
yeah.
I also read somewhere where you kind of have a comic diary, that's like one of the main parts to House of Leaf, and that you format it into kind of like a comic strip. Could you talk a little bit about the process of taking your art and getting it from rough draft format to ready to go on social media, or ready to go on any type of like webtoons or something like that?
Sure. The diary comic I have on my website, I post it a couple different places online, but mainly on my website. My process for making that is mostly stuff happens to me, and I'll do like a little sketch on maybe a piece of scrap paper or junk mail, and then when I get a chance to actually sit down, I'll take that sketch, and usually they're pretty rough because I'm drawing it with like ballpoint pen on piece of junk mail, but I'll take that sketch and I'll flesh it out, and sometimes I end up rearranging the flow of the story, because stuff doesn't happen in four panel beats in real life. So I can make some adjustments there, I ink it and color it.
What was the catalyst for doing the diary? Was there an event that maybe made you say, I think I should start writing down and chronicling these adventures that I have? Or was it just some other reason?
Sure. I mean, the main reason that I started the diary comics and that I keep doing them is because it's something that's, it's easy to work on, and it gives me a way to, stretch my creative muscles without having to put in a bunch of effort into writing and drawing like a major large project.
Okay. You've also managed some websites for the Queer Zest Zine Fest and Comics Accountability Club. How did you get involved in doing that?
Sure. Well, I'm in both of those organizations. I think Comics Accountability Club did not have a website when I joined. When it was brought up that, maybe we should start having a website, because before that, the only online presence for the club was the Instagram page. I knew that I had some experience creating my own website, so I volunteered to help out with that. With Queer Zest Zine Fest, that's an virtual zine fest that happens online annually. This year, it's actually happening right now throughout the month of September, so we'll have live events on the weekends. I got involved in that project because I was looking for online events where I could share my comics and the zines that I make. And I found their website, and it hadn't been updated in a while, but it looked like they still had an active community going on in the Discord server. So I volunteered to help out there, and now here we are.
Excellent. Yep. That's cool. You see a need and jumped in there to help the volunteer, and that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So can we talk a little bit about your background in art, so to speak? I assume that you have been a creative kid you know, drawing every once in a while or all the time? Or could you take us through the journey from point A to point B in your career in art?
Sure. Well, kind of always been interested in creative writing and art, mostly as separate things for most of my life. And then it wasn't until like a couple of years ago that I decided to combine those and start making comics. I've done. I went to school for studio art and English for a couple of years, but for financial reasons, I wasn't able to finish my degree. But I do have that academic background in those fields. And a couple of years ago, I was between jobs for a couple of months, and you know, it's kind of boring to be unemployed. To be totally honest with you, I got bored. I got bored being unemployed, and so I was looking around for you know, stuff I could do with my art. And I found the Comics Accountability Club, and I figured I could make comics, and I joined it, and you know, now here we are.
You know, I'm going to disagree with you. The first like 3 weeks, it rocks to be unemployed. Those first 3 weeks, but then when you get to week four, when you get to week four, you're like, I don't have enough money to do anything because I'm unemployed. I get you. I get you though. So, who are some of your favorite comic book characters or comic strip characters or projects or anything that's art related that you really have kind of, you know, I don't know if I want to use the word are inspired by, but maybe that's the best way to say it. Maybe what are some of those other projects that inspire you?
Sure. Well, I grew up, you know, reading web comics and graphic novels. So one of my favorites would be Oh Human Star by Blue Delacuente. That's a web comic. It's this really beautiful science fiction comic about the future and technology and being trans, which are all really interesting and important things to me. And then I would say that the other cartoonist I'm really inspired by is Tilly Walden. I've read most of her books. But she writes graphic novels. I think the first book I read by her was Spinning, which is her memoir about growing up and doing figure skating and moving around and that sort of thing as a child.
Wow. I would love to check that out because I love hockey, but I'm also always somewhat fascinated by the stories of people that have to relocate to reach their goals. You know what I mean? So you said it's called Spinning?
Yeah, it's called Spinning by Tilly Walden.
Okay, I'll have to check that out. Definitely check that out. Thanks for the recommendation.
Yeah, you're welcome. but yeah, I love Tilly Walden's work. She has a very delicate art style, and she's very talented with colors. I think you'll see more of her color work in On a Sunbeam, which is a free webcomic, so you can read that on her website.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Columbus comic scene. As you are a native of, or resident, I should say.
Resident,
not native. I shouldn't just assume that everybody that's here. So. But you are a resident of Columbus. What's the best part of the Columbus comic scene, in your opinion?
Sure. Well, I'd say that everyone's been super welcoming to me. I'm not from Columbus originally. I've only lived here for the past 3 or 4 years, I'd say. You know, I'm relatively new to Columbus. I'm relatively new to comics. And I've felt very welcomed. There's some very, very talented artists in the community. The Columbus Cartoonist Coalition is putting out this anthology that I'm a part of, it's offered me a lot of opportunities to share my comics and to engage with the community. I'm really grateful for that. And it's definitely a great organization to be a part of.
Yeah, and we need to talk about the crowdfunder info for a moment. This is a unique setup. And I say that because, you know, last year, first year for doing this type of, I guess you could say, organization, if you will, It was a massive success. So we're back at it, doing it again, where folks, if you give to the crowdfunder, if you donate, that money's staying in the indie comics creation bubble. It's not going anywhere else. It's not going to be, you know, shipped off to New Jersey or to California or anywhere. It stays right here in Columbus, Ohio, to help people like Leaf and everyone else that wants to do some fantastic comics or graphic novels or whatnot. So if you donate, and if you donate, and we can collect $1,050, $10 goes back to every single creator, all right? If we can reach the total of 1,350, then 15 bucks goes back to everybody. If we get to the next tier of 1,675, 20 bucks is going back to everybody. And if we can reach that 2,000 mark, 25 bucks is going back to everybody. In fact, if we get above that 2,000, which I would like to see, so get out there, donate, ladies and gentlemen. But again, anything over $2,000, 25 bucks. And again, you're not going to see this with many other projects. You know, many other people that are doing this type of deal, it's not that way. So this is a unique setup. This is a unique opportunity for you to help people like Leaf, like Jeremy, like Sydney, like all these talented people that you're going to see on these live streams and on the and here in this podcast. It helps them out. And you know what, Leaf, be honest, it's sometimes expensive to be a creator. Is that correct or is that false?
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. Art supplies are expensive and takes up a lot of time. So
yeah, definitely you want to help these folks out. And you know what, Leaf, why do you think, I'm just going to ask you to make a pitch, why do you think somebody should donate to the anthology?
Well, I think you should donate to the anthology because it's an awesome anthology. I've been watching all of my fellow creators in the Comics Academy, in the C3, whatever. I've been watching all of my fellow creators in C3 working on these beautiful, informative comics. And it's covering a huge range of very interesting topics. And I think you'll really enjoy reading this anthology. It's going to be, I think, 72 pages. And it's going to be an incredible read. I think you guys should really check it out.
And you know what, Leaf? I never did ask. What was the name of your tale in regards to the repetitive strain injury?
It's called Get Strong Hands.
That's clever. I like that. Get Strong Hands. That's all right. That's a good deal. All right, let's talk a little bit about social media, website. You know what? I know it's September. We're getting into the tail end of convention season. But if you have an upcoming appearance or someone or something you'd like to plug, let's go ahead and do it right now, Leaf.
Sure. Well, I'll be at CXC this September, this month, with the Comics Accountability Club, which is another group of cartoonists that I'm a part of, and we'll be tabling together there. And then in November, I'll be at DefCom, which is an annual comics event, and in Defiance, Ohio, at the public library there.
You just said CXC, and I just looked at my calendar. Holy crap! It's almost only 3 weeks away. Man, what are you talking about? Oh man, time goes so fast anymore.
It sure does. Yeah.
I don't want to sound like an old man, but man, whew, it was okay. Well, well, nonetheless, folks, go out and honestly, you need to check out this anthology. Go over to the Facebook page. Go over to all the social media outlets. There's a tiny URL that you can click so that you can donate and help make this a huge success like it was last year. Leaf, thank you very much for sitting down and chatting with me about C3, about your projects. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be back with more interviews from the C3 anthology. I'm going to interrupt my conversation just for one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. You name it, they got it. If you're in Central Ohio, you need to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. You can also follow them online. WGComics.com is a web address, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just look for at WG Comics. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening I'm sitting down with a digital creator and a member of C3, Mr. Brandon Mullins. Brandon, how are you tonight?
Great, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Now, you are a Columbus native, correct?
That's correct.
You say that hesitantly.
Well, I don't know. I'm like, I didn't go to OSU. I didn't. I'm not like huge. Like, I watch the Buckeyes, like fair weather fan kind of thing. You know, like all the things that would normally be, you know, very like, you know, OH, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm like, oh man, like it. I feel like it puts a target on my back. Like, oh, that guy's from Ohio.
That's okay. I'm the same way. I'm not a huge college football fan. I mean, I'll watch it, but I'm just like my day does not live or die by the fact if I've watched the game.
Yeah.
But I do understand it because I'm a huge hockey fan. So I feel that way when the NHL season starts. Like I'm that way with the NHL. But well, you are also part of C3's Hidden Histories anthology. And you have a very unique project, you have a very unique process and focus for this anthology. And it's talking about the history of the Cuyahoga River. So tell us a little bit about the project.
Well, I love this idea. Like I'm usually kind of with my other work, I tend to stick in like more surreal or just kind of like bombastic kind of over the top weirdness. And you know, when I heard about these, you know, this prompt essentially of like what the anthology was going to be, I was like, well, how can my style like, you know, kind of lean into that, but also still, you know, deliver on what the ask is, you know? And so I was like, well, I'll do the Cuyahoga River fire, but I'll try to do it from the perspective of the river, which is like really wonky and weird. I don't know if I hit the mark or not, but I was like, you know, I'll try to do something like that and tell the story and the history of that, you know, from that perspective while still dripping in the actual history, you know, from like kind of the, you know, fiction versus nonfiction, like the narrative storytelling versus, you know, the actual events.
You'll have to explain to myself and to the listeners, could you choose any particular thing to learn about for the anthology, or were there specific ones that were selected and you picked from that list?
I think you could do anything.
Okay. So then that leads me to my next question. Why the Cuyahoga River fire for you? Why?
Honestly, it's always like this Ohio mythology, right? Of like, Our city's bad, but at least our river never caught on fire, you know, kind of like, you know, which is kind of untrue. You know, once I dug into like this mythology, I found out like tons of other places, rivers and ponds and stuff caught on fires, their lakes caught on fires and stuff like that. Like this was not an uncommon thing during that time because of how much pollution was in everybody's like waterways.
I think too, like a lot of U.S. cities caught on fire just in the like the 1800s up through till modern times. It seems like it always happened that Little Rock burned down today. That's okay. Right. We'll rebuild it. You know, and it's like what?
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah, it was like until like they got that stuff under control. It was the Wild West of like regulation and like what could and couldn't be done.
So. Your tale is already submitted, correct?
Yes, yeah.
And are you excited to get feedback for the piece that you did in the anthology?
I'm always interested just to hear kind of people's take on it and like what they think, especially this story in particular, because it is kind of like outside of my wheelhouse, you know, like there's not like ton of action. It's not very comic booky, you know, like the in terms of like what the story is. So it's an interesting exercise in like stretching, I don't know, just basically stretching my style to the limit of what can I do with this, you know, and like my typical, you know, storytelling techniques.
I was doing research and looked at your Facebook page, and I gotta say that you have a very unique style. How would you describe it for somebody that is listening to this episode?
I've heard everything from poor man's Ashley Wood to poor man Sean Murphy, which, you know, honestly, I'll take it. You know, I respect both of those artists so much. Yeah, I like a lot of like surrealism. I like a lot of like kind of even if my stuff is sometimes a little stiff, like I still like there to be energy in the line work and stuff like that. So, yeah, I try to kind of just stick with those principles of like keep it loose and keep it kind of raw.
So what inspires you when you sit down? Because I saw a lot, I think the most recent Facebook post, you were doing some type of a very unique bird, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah, right now, this is embarrassing to admit, I'm still working on last year's Inktober prompts. And probably because I was overambitious and thinking I could do a comic with all the prompts in 30 days. I have no idea what I was thinking. I was like high on my own stuff or something. I don't know what was going on. I was really gassing myself up and like I got halfway through and I was like, I'm doing like 6 images per prompt. What is my prompt? Like, there's no way I'm going to finish this. And so, yeah. So the bird thing you saw was I'm probably 50 quote unquote pages into this now. I posted on my Instagram the finished pieces and stuff like that pretty much every Wednesday. So I'm kind of like on a schedule right now, like Monday showing process, Friday showing process, and then, you know, kind of coincidentally it landed on Comic Book Wednesday of like dropping like the page on Instagram and just showing the final piece. But it's a weird, because it is based off of Inktober prompts, it's a very strange fragmented story of a girl named Lily and her demonic book bag, which is not real. He's in a video game. They both go into this video game world and are fighting bosses and exploring that world. It's basically me making fun of some of my favorite games like Diablo 4 and Elden Ring and stuff like that, and you know, kind of poking fun at, you know, common game practices like battle passes and streamer culture and stuff like that.
So when you don't have a prompt given to you through, you know, like Inktober and whatnot, what inspires you to just sit down? If you're doing your own thing, your own project, who inspires you? What inspires you?
I think just kind of everyday stuff inspires me, mostly in the sense of like taking something that seems kind of innocuous or like boring and then stretching that to like its most absurd limits. You know, and I think one of my friends told me this a while back. He was like, I think you can make anything interesting just because of how your brain works. He's like, you could take making somebody walking down to the corner store to get a bag of chips interesting. He's like, I don't know how you would do it, but you would do it. And so I took that as a prompt and did it. A guy that's like on a little bit of a bender goes down to the store and he starts hallucinating that these chips are really trying to sell them off the shelf. And like, I took Cheetos and Takis and like made up new names for them. And like, it just goes completely over the top while he's like finds this cat and stuff. And it's just taking those everyday things and stretching them to like just absurd limits is always fun and funny to me.
I like that you had the forethought to go, you know what? I don't want to cease and desist. We're going to rename this.
Yeah. I mean, I work in like advertising and UI, UX and stuff like that. So I know what I'm up against.
Well, you know what? I think that that's better than like some, you know, grocery stores name their chips something else, like Clancy's potato chips.
Right.
They're just Lay's. They're generic Lay's, people. Let's not lie to one another.
Exactly.
You know? Let's talk a little bit about you. When did you start falling in love with art?
I wouldn't say this is a unique story, but I've just been drawing basically since I could hold a pencil. And you know, the you've probably heard it 100 times, you know, drew all through elementary, all through middle school, all through high school and everything. I went to Eastland Career Center, for the like graphics arts program, did that, went to CCAD and they were just like, art is not it. You should go in design. That's where the money is, you know, like do that. And I was kind of let down, but at the same time, I love design too. You know, it's another one of my passions. So I was like, cool. Yeah, we'll do that. And I ended up not going to CCAD. I just went self-taught. I asked people in the industry, like, what should I learn? And basically just went on all of their recommendations and did that. And after being in the design industry for, I don't know, like 20 years at this point, the past 5 or 6 years, I've really just dove back into art. My now wife was like, you should get an iPad, you know, like you could just treat it like a sketchbook and, you know, it'd be something for you to do. And I did that. And, you know, I'd done like digital drawing and stuff like that before, but nothing really stuck. You know, I think it was the fact that I could carry this thing around with me and take it anywhere. And it wasn't like you aren't the weird guy drawing in a sketchbook in a, you know, coffee shop or something. And yeah, it just kind of stuck. And, you know, I just started revisiting. I was like, oh man, I used to love comics, you know, and I was like, it just kind of revitalized all of that, to be honest.
So let's go back here and talk again about your project, which I don't think we mentioned the title. What is the title of the project?
Pretty on the nose. It's The River Burns.
The sarcastic person in me wants to say that took you a long time to do.
You know, there's something about that. It's like, you know, Hideo Kojima. I don't know if you're familiar with his games.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he names characters things like Dead Man, Tar Man, and stuff like that. And it's like, it's pretty on the nose about what those people are about. But at the same time, it's like, it's pretty memorable, too. It's like hard to forget.
Okay, so The River Burns is part of the anthology here that's being put out by C3. Could you maybe think of another topic that you would really enjoy learning about?
Honestly, I went through a few because I was like, well, if this is releasing, you know, sometime around like the fall time, like, you know, we could explore stuff that's a little more spooky. I know there's like, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the name. Is it the Moonvale something tunnel? It's around here, which apparently, it's a tunnel that was built for a train. They had to shut it down because there were so many deaths. The train would go through there, and the way they built it, people thought they could walk in the tunnel while the train was going, and that was not the case. Yeah. And so I almost wrote a story about that, and I was like, well, this is kind of, I think this is supposed to be like all ages, you know? I don't want to like really go too wild with this and, you know, like go full horror, you know, full body horror or something.
Oh, I was gonna say that is something I didn't know anything about. Wow, I'm gonna research that now. See, you've inspired me.
Yeah, I was like going down the tunnel of like what, or going down the path. Maybe I shouldn't use tunnel. but going down the path of like looking for like these crazy, like spookier things that were happening in Ohio, and yeah, that was up there, and I was like, I don't know, I might keep that one in my back pocket.
You know, speaking of keeping things in your back pocket, do you have any projects besides the stuff that you've done for Hidden Histories in the anthology? Do you have anything else on the horizon that you'd like to talk a little bit about?
I'm like in basically like three anthologies at this point. You know, with a couple of friends working through the Samurai anthology that we're working on, called Enter the Samurai. It's this group, Six Ronin, just a bunch of friends, you know, Robbie, Raw Melendez, and, you know, just kind of like local creators. We're doing some stuff that's pretty fun. My Uncommon W comic, which is my Instagram comic that I'm working on right now, through the Inktober prompts. I'm hoping I finish it before the next Inktober.
So when you say it's an Instagram comic, it's every day you upload a new kind of one pager, for lack of a better term.
I do it every week. So yeah, on Wednesdays, I'll just do okay. Like a little like one page continuation of the comic. And eventually at some point I'll do like a whole compilation and probably put it into one book.
Okay, cool. Any other projects coming up?
Not anytime soon. Okay. There's always a handful. I'm always working on like 6 or 7.
How do you manage your time then? If I may, and I mean, that's a serious question. I know it may sound like I was jesting, but How do you manage your time? Because I'm assuming you have a day job, and you said you have a wife, and you have responsibilities outside of comics and whatnot. How do you do it?
So I am a freelance designer, so I do have my own hours, you know. So while it is a 9-to-5 freelance, that lifestyle does like afford me some extra time during the day where it's, you know, if I've got something, a deadline, and I've already hit it, you know, and I'm just kind of waiting around, then it's time to start drawing, time to start putting some ink down on some paper and, you know, figuring out that next story or working on probably another deadline that's coming up for, you know, a comic book. And yeah, just managing, you know, I told my wife when we first, you know, started dating, even, you know, I'm kind of selfish with my time. So if you need my attention, like, you know, grab it from me, take it from me, tell me you need that attention, I'll give it to you freely, you know, like, but I'm the type of person, like, I just get, you know, stuck on something, the horse blinders go on. And if nothing distracts me, that's probably where I'll be, you know, all day.
Okay. Do you have any favorite comics or superheroes or comic strips?
I do. I really like, I would say my like kind of go-to at the moment, mostly because I'm working on like this dark fantasy story, but, the Berserk, you know, story, going through all of those. I think I bought all the deluxe versions at this point, but going through Berserk and reading all of that, getting caught up, obviously, you know, there's some masterful artwork in there to look at. I'm sure everybody's familiar with, you know, Guts and the, you know, that kind of world, at least to some, you know, extent. But I'm also just a sucker for big swords, you know, like Final Fantasy, Berserk, you know, if the story calls for a big sword, I'm down to watch it. I'll check it out.
Okay. Highlander then would be on that list too.
Oh, yeah. Love Highlander. Something about it. There's like just this childlike thing of just, you know, my inner child loves giant swords.
That's cool, man. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm trying to think who else has big giant swords. Oh, Lobo in the DC universe has a giant sword.
Yeah.
For one version of him. What else do we got? Giant sword, Shogun Warriors.
Yeah, Shogun Warriors. I think Sean Murphy's version of like Azazel is wielding a giant sword and like
the Yes. And, yeah. Oh man, that's absolutely correct on that, man. All right, a couple of last questions here. We're going to kind of then wrap things up. We got to let everybody know about what the crowdfunder is all about. And but before we do that, Brandon, how long have you been a part of C3?
Honestly, only like maybe a little over a year, year and a half at this point. Just happened by circumstance, to be honest. There was a Pickerington Library thing going on for comics, and I met a few of the people there. And from there it was just like joined the Discord, met everybody there, been to a few of the, you know, drawing sessions at you know, Brewdog and stuff like that, and yeah, everybody's been super cool with it. So yeah, good spot to be.
Okay, and do you have any, for anybody that's thinking, there's a creator out there that's thinking, oh, I might join, I might not join, give them a sales pitch. Why do they need to be part of C3?
I think the biggest thing, honestly, is just the making comics and drawing and art in itself is a very isolating thing. And anytime you can find people that are like-minded or, you know, are going through kind of the same struggles of just like, you're just, I never leave my house, I'm always drawing, you know, like being able to jump on a Discord and draw with somebody who's also just interested in the same things of you, like as a community, or being able to go to the bar and hang out and draw with people that are also interested in the same things as you as a community is like priceless.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about it. It is C3's Hidden Histories, the 2025 anthology. If you're familiar with how things went last year, it's very similar. But if you're not, let me fill you in that basically for every amount of money that you pledge, that is going to go right back into the actual project. So there's no get rich quick scheme going on here, anything along those lines. If we raise, all right, $1,050 through this crowdfunder campaign, then every artist gets $10. If we get to 1350, everyone gets $15. If we get 1,675, then we get $20 goes back to the creators. And anything 2,000 and beyond, it's going to be $25 going back to the creators. And look, last year was really successful, and we'd like to see it be successful again. So go on over. I know there's going to be a URL that is going to be tagged on this particular conversation that Brandon and I had. Definitely just go to the tiny URL, click on it. All the information's right there, and you can donate and help it out, because look, these are homegrown. Columbus, Ohio. We talked about it, that pride of being from Ohio. Then you got no, if you're going to fly that flag, then you cannot say, oh no, I'm not participating. Shake my fist at you. You can't do that, right, Brandon?
Exactly. Shame these people. No, but seriously, right. Yeah, you definitely should buy the comic. You know, check it out. There's some great stuff in there. I think everything that I've seen, people are doing some great work, and you know, you'd be supporting some really fun stories and good artists.
Yeah, and speaking of great artists, let's talk to you, Brandon, about social media, website, maybe some upcoming appearances. I know we're kind of cycling down when it comes to the cons and whatnot, but you got anything that you want to plug real quick?
All my socials pretty much are at Wake Up Brandon. So Instagram, Twitter, X, whatever they're calling it now, even though I don't post on there very often, Blue Sky. I think the only one that's different is maybe TikTok, and I think that's just Brandon Draws or something like that. So, I'm always posting pretty much, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday are kind of my scheduled dates that I try to hit.
Okay. All right, Brandon, thanks, man, for sitting down and chatting with me tonight. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversations with Leif Bennett and Brandon Mullins, two very talented artists who have loaned their talents to the C3 anthology called Hidden Histories. And I hope you enjoyed the conversations I had with both Leif and, of course, Brandon. And I urge you, if you have the opportunity to kick out a few bucks to C3, please do so. It's a great organization. This anthology is an awesome anthology. A lot of cool, interesting information and fun in the pages of that anthology. So you owe it to yourself, so to speak, to make sure that if you got a few extra bucks, plunk it down and then pick up a great anthology. Well, now it's time for me to let you know where you can get in touch with me in case you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. Well, the first place you can reach me is via email. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. I'm also on Twitter still. So you can reach me over at my personal Twitter handle of @PVDMVP. And you can drop me a line on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just search for @PVDcast. Well, maybe you have some folks that you know would love to hear the PVDcast. So you can tell them that they can listen to a variety of different places, whichever one's easiest for them. Of course, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and the best place to get every single new episode of the show, but it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets, you know, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio app, etc., etc. All you have to do is go into the search bar of your favorite podcast app, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you're using one of those outlets or apps, please, please rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it lets those companies know that you're listening to the PVDcast. And heck, while you're at it, why don't you subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast? There's one final place where you can catch the show, and that is every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I do a little live broadcast of the week's episode. So there's three different ways to hear the PVDcast: PVDcast.com, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app, and of course, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over on the Facebook page at PVDcast. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. All the places where you can hear the show at your fingertips, at your beck and call, whatever you want to say. But for the time being, I should start to log off here, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you all for checking out this episode of the PVDcast. And with that, I'm going to get on out of here, so I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.